Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a Doughty Football Friday. Bob out today. Limits under the weather, but he's fighting through it. He's got his hand in the pile. I don't know a pile of what, but he's got his hand in the pile today.
A pile of bleep.
It's like one of those games where Big Ben had the broken nose in Baltimore.
Yeah,
he
right.
had the high ankle sprain against the Browns. He came out and played the second half when he couldn't even move.
Exactly. You just gut it out here. We're at Bowser Chevy in Monroeville. We have a quiz show coming up. We have Bob Walk coming up to talk about Paul Skeens. Just wow on that guy. And then we have our predictions for the week. We have a lot still to get to. And some Steeler predictions for the year we didn't yet get to. But first, Limits, we have a Bechtold breakdown. The show is yours.
Yes, the Bechtold breakdown is brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating. Thank you to our friend Jake at Southside Plumbing and Heating. How about this, guys? Like, I have never taken a sick day before this week. Your friend Limits is the soldier that always likes to step up into battle and try to gut it out. So hopefully I can put together a good performance today.
Okay,
Limits. I don't want to
question you.
Now you're talking actual sick days, right?
Yeah.
Not like planned days, because I've only correct. Taken one in my time with the guys.
Yeah, correct.
I take one every 2 weeks.
True.
Go ahead, Limits.
Did you see the video of George Pickens? Well, of course you did. The penalty that he had inside the 15-yard line, Cowboys are trying to go down and score in the fourth quarter.
He sunk the Blankenship.
And there's George Pickens, fellas. He just cannot get out of his own way.
I also saw a video cut up today. I don't know if either of you follow, and I apologize if I say his last name incorrectly, Tommy Yagi. You know who I'm talking about on Twitter?
No, no idea.
Austin, maybe you do. He puts out some, like, all 22 cut-ups and such. But just a whole splice job of, I don't know, a handful of plays where he just said George Pickens already making some business decisions in week one of a contract year, showing just very, very little effort on run plays when it comes to blocking, very little effort on some routes when he had a good feeling he wouldn't get the ball.
Yeah, he is who he is. I mean, that's why I said they needed to trade him, and that's why I said the second they did, it was addition by subtraction. And let's not give the Steelers any credit here. They ignored all the red flags coming out of college because Art thinks that this environment here changes people, when in fact it just emboldens people who already have issues. And George did, coming into the NFL, that plus his injury, and I think more that, is why people passed on him, and the Steelers took him, and they got smoked.
Yeah, people liked to point to the injury and say, well, the knee concern, that's why everybody is waiting on this guy. But it's pretty apparent, and it became apparent pretty quickly, of what the actual holdup was, why this guy fell to the 50s in the draft.
Yeah, and he'll have some great games in Dallas, too. We know that.
Yeah.
There'll be teammates,
great
two
catches,
in a row.
Great touchdowns.
Yeah, where he puts up 150 yards, and then it'll be Pickens has changed, and Pickens is great. He's going to revert back to who he is. Next.
The Dodgers' payroll is $349 million. They were swept by the Pirates pretty convincingly, I'd like to say, guys. Good thing that Paul Skeens is now over 500. That has to help his Cy Young candidacy.
I think he was en route to be the first guy, truly. If he didn't have a winning record, he was en route to be the first guy to pull it off and win the Cy Young without doing so. It is going to look better aesthetically over the course of time if he does have a winning record or even a 500 record. But people just have to realize in the moment, you know, the team that he was working with, and I know the Pirates have played better in the second half. I just saw something about how they have like a top three or five record since the All-Star break. but he's still pitching with a team that for a long period of time this year was on pace to lose 100 plus games.
Yeah.
That's what he was dealing with. And he has been masterful outside of some starts here and there. But it is very few and far between that we ever see this guy have a start in which he doesn't even really blow up. We see a Paul Skeens blow up as like 5 innings, 3 earned runs.
Right.
What anybody else calls just another day at the office. That's a bad start for Paul Skeens. Otherwise, the guy is just masterful almost every time.
15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I've been watching baseball for a long time, and
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How many people have I seen who threw this hard but also had this vast of an arsenal? I don't know that I have. Pedro Martinez? Like, you know, Dwight Gooden was phenomenal to watch, but he was basically fastball, curveball, go back to the dugout. This guy is ridiculous. How many pitches he has, how many he has command of. He basically made fools out of a great hitting team last night with superstars all over the place. I don't know that I've seen anything like it, certainly not this young in a career. And then a lot of people laughed when I said the Pirates are really actually not that far away. I think they're proving that. They're a game over 500 with Don Kelly, which if you simply do that, then you're going to be in the wild card race. And if they add a competent bat or two, I think they're going to be a wild card team next year. That's a big if they add a bat or two. Donnie, I think they are. The other thing people laughed at me at was 3 or 4 years ago, I said the Pirates will win the World Series in 2027. I ain't backing away from that. Not yet.
The frustrating thing is it's not even like the request of a competent bat is some asinine thing.
Right.
But it feels that way with how the GM and the owner have gone about the offseason.
I know.
Like it's been okay. We throw another bone to the fans. We bring Andrew McCutchen back for the fourth year in a row. And to Kutch's credit, he's still a average major league bat, ends up being the best bat that the Pirates have on their roster. The best acquisition they made was Tommy Pham, who's been good since he got his eyes fixed. But they need to take that next step. I have a fear that their big moves next season will be, hey, let's just re-sign Tommy Pham and Andrew McCutchen. Those guys were good for us.
See that, and then like we mentioned earlier, it's always difficult for me to decipher what's real and what's not during silly season, which is August and September for the Pirates. What's real and what's not? Adam Hizdew might hit 12 home runs, you know, in a month. Is it real? I don't know. What Jared Triolo's doing, is that real? Nick York came in. Why didn't Nick York get a chance before this, Donnie?
I thought that was bizarre all season. How they?
I know he was struggling at AAA. So what?
And I know that it's not just a Pirates thing or really just a baseball thing where you kind of play favorites with some of your prospects or, you know, there's just guys that you will give a longer leash to. And then there's other players that they will bring up and they'll get 10 games, a dozen games, and if they don't show anything, the next thing
right.
You know is...
And we're still watching Canario.
Yeah, like so-and-so is DFA'd. Like, I'm not saying that Matt Gorski, for instance, is on his way to being some all-time great player, but he was one that was banging on the door for a lot of last season, and he came up here. He actually hit 2 or 3 home runs, I think, in like 12 games.
Yeah.
He was only hitting like, I don't know, like in like the 170s, but what difference does it make? That's what half the roster is hitting at. And the next thing we know, DFA'd, picked up by the Dodgers, who tend to be a pretty good organization when it comes to baseball.
Man, I don't know whether it's going to take a trade or a free agent signing, but please, let's just not have audition time again next year. Let's have some things set because the sands are running low believe it or not, on the Skeens era here. Let's get something done next season. They're ready. Something fun is happening over there, Donnie. I don't know how real it is or not as far as how it portends to next year, but something fun seems to be happening over at PNC Park. I'll tell you this much. I can only speak to my own sort of, you know, desires. I'm going home tonight to watch that game. I never dreamed, other than a Skeen start, that I was going to really make appointment viewing the Pirates in August or September of this year. And I am lately, because the games are really entertaining.
They clearly have a manager they want to play for. They have a manager that the city can very easily get behind. I mean, he is a Pittsburgh guy through and through. So if they can carry that into next season, then it looks like it was a smart move all along. People just asking, why didn't they do this sooner? Like, if Don Kelly is the Pirates manager all season, where are they at? That's a fair question to ask. I mean, I think he's done a pretty admirable job given the circumstances. I'm not going to say manager of the year or anything like that, but he's done a good job. Objectively, he has done a good job. The big chip for them in the offseason is going to be Mitch Keller.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that has to be, and I know that our buddy Noah Hiles has hinted at this.
The Noah Constrictor.
He kind of has to be the guy that goes on the move, and they have to get some sort of bat equivalent to Mitch Keller to insert into this lineup.
So you mean a bat who's really good for the first 3 months and then crumbles? Okay. No,
better than what they usually work with.
Right. Please just go into spring training with two new guys. I might even take one. But two new guys who have no competition, okay, that you know this guy's your new left fielder. I don't want 18 guys auditioning in spring training and reading the Noah Constrictor, giving each guy stats from spring training games. I want a guy that everybody in the world knows, because he's a good hitter, is the Pirates' new left fielder. That's what I want. Please. Please. We don't ask for much, Limits. What's next?
The winning streak makes me sad. Would you like to know why?
What winning streak?
The Pirates winning streak, or at least the run to success that they're on right now. You want to know why?
Oh, yeah, why?
Because it's more of a likelihood that the general manager will return.
I know. And that was the...
And I don't like that.
What's the phrase here? That was the conundrum when Donnie Kelly came on. It's like, yeah, you want him to do well, but if he does too well, does he bring the general manager back?
And now some of the moves look better.
They do.
In hindsight, like the pitching looks, I mean, we knew the pitching would be pretty good, but the pitching looks better. Like, there are very few pitchers that we have found that they are completely whiffing on.
Percent chance Charrington's back, whether you think he should be or not, I say 95.
Yeah, I mean, I'm over 50-50 at this point. I think it's like a 60-70%. Unless they take the final couple of weeks here and they go down the slope again.
Yeah,
I think if they keep playing the way they're playing, or even .500 baseball, he's going to be back.
And I think that's part of the reason he kept a guy like Tommy Pham, who was hot at the time, was job security, honestly. Like, why am I giving up this guy to what, get a look at Nick York when I can maybe preserve my job here? I honestly think that was part of it. Next.
All right, Red Zone will now have about a minute worth of commercials, four 15-second commercials that won't be full screen, but split screen commercials. But a lot of people, Donnie, are up in arms about this. They hate that Red Zone will have any bit of commercials.
I think the hate is because we know what direction this is going in. I don't know if it's necessarily because it's the amount of time or the amount of screen the commercials are taking up. I think it's the fact that now that door has been opened. It has been opened to the ad space, and it's only a matter of time before a Sunday of Red Zone just looks like any other thing you're watching on TV, like any other NFL coverage, where it's a full-blown, like, commercial break after, let's say, a handful of games are in the first quarter, commercial break. Handful of games go to halftime, commercial break. I don't know if it's going to be at super speed where it's like next season we see that, but I think within the next 5 to 10 years of Red Zone, we're probably looking at something like that. So that's where I think people are upset.
Yeah, we'll get over it. Everybody sells out in the end, Donnie. We all do. Bob Dylan sold his whole song catalog to Universal Music Publishing. Sold the whole damn thing for $300 million. Of course, Red Zone was going to go to commercials. Everybody wears things on their jerseys now. All the stadiums have sold out. I'm included in it all. We've all sold out, and we always will. Thank you, Limits.
Thanks.
Up next, Bob Walk talking about Skeens, talking about what next year's rotation might look like, and that is followed, Donnie.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.